The Lord is here. The Lord is here. And he wants to make himself real. I was thinking, as our sister was singing, his eye is on the sparrow. My husband, when he attended Southwestern, he's an alumni of Southwestern, but a Texan go, amen. But he had a professor that said to them, children, there's going to be times when you can't see God, feel God, or touch God. How many's ever been in those times? He said, when those times come, listen to the birds sing. Listen to the birds sing. His eye is on the sparrow. And if it's on the sparrow, he's watching you. Many a morning when we would arise from a terrible night, from a bus tragedy, when we would arise, we didn't even want to wake up. We didn't even want to get up. But oh, as we would open our eyes, there would be a bird on the windowsill chirping. And my husband would say, honey, listen to the birds sing. Listen to the birds sing. When you can't get to where he is, he'll come to where you are. And I'm glad this morning that his eye is on the sparrow. That means he's watching me. Amen. Oh, thank you so much, worship team and Sister Dee Dee, for bringing us into the presence of God. Amen. That's what it... Folks, we can be brought into his presence, but we haven't worshiped until we respond. How many knows I have to respond to the presence of God before I have worshiped? I've left many a service and looked up and said, God, did you get anything out of me being in church today? Did I worship you? Folks, if he gets something out of it, I promise you, we will. As we begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. She was talking about Job. And let me tell you what, this is not my message. This is just on my heart. Well, you know what the book of Job tells us? Three things. Our trials are timed. Our sufferings are measured. But if we'll be faithful, our lives will be compensated. It tells us three things. Our trials are timed. How do we know that? God said to Satan, you can only do it when I let you. How many knows he's still on a leash? Honey, hell is not in charge. Heaven is in charge. Heaven has always been in charge. Hell has never been in charge. Heaven is in charge, has always been in charge. Then he said to the enemy, this is as far as you can go. How many of those measuring your suffering? But Job was faithful and his life was compensated. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. And then Sister Pierce made a statement. Everybody's giving me a message this morning. Made a statement about the blood, pleading the blood. The blood is for three things. It's for identification, it's for protection, and it's for deliverance. Now let me explain that to you. When they put the blood over the doorpost, it identified them that they belong to the children of God. And when the death angel passed by, that blood was for protection. And then they said, when you leave Egypt, we know you're going to leave in a hurry. But come by and get us. We want to be delivered. We've got the blood over the doorpost. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We've got the blood over the doorpost. Folks, the blood is over the doorpost of my heart today. It, number one, it's for identification. It says I'm a child of God. Number two, it's for protection. The enemy can't get under the blood. And number three, the trumpet's going to sound and I'm out of here. Amen. I'm out of here. It's the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me. That's not my message. That's free. 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. 1 Samuel 9 and 6. I'm going to bring you up to this portion of scripture this morning. This is where Saul, before he became king, his father had lost his animals. So the servant and Saul goes out to find them. Well, they can't find them. So Saul makes a statement to the servant, let's go back because my father will be worried about us. But the servant replies to Saul in verse 6, and here's what he says. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And I want to put in there a woman of God. Behold, now there is in this city a woman. She's an honorable woman. And all that she saith surely come to pass. Now let us go thither. Preadventure, she can show us our way that we should go. I want to minister to you this morning on this subject. A woman of God in the city. She's talked about it all morning. How many wants to be a woman of God in the city? A woman of God in the city. A woman of God is three things. Number one, she's a woman of prayer. She's a woman of prayer. Folks, prayer is not seeking answers. Prayer is seeking God. And when I seek God, answers come. How many knows that? It's not seeking answers. It's seeking Almighty God. And when I seek Him, answers will come. I don't pray out of duty. I pray out of desire. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to worship. I get to worship. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to pay my tithe. I get to pay my tithe. Amen. I don't have to hear the word. I get to hear the word. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. Amen. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. I was preaching on tithing one time, and I said, if you'll pay 10%, God will open the windows of heaven. A man in the audience said, sister, what will God do for 5%? I said, brother, God don't do windows for less than 10. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. Not duty, but desire. Let me tell you the difference in duty and desire. I comb my husband's hair. And while I'm on that subject, can I thank all of you that had a part in blessing my husband? I know there's a church, used to be called Mount Auburn. I believe it's, is it Hillview? Hillview Terrace now. He was in that church for many years. Wonderful people there. He's got an aunt in this town by the name of Jewel Mitchell, or in Fort Worth, Texas. It's my husband's aunt. Blessed his life so much. I've got a couple ladies here that's blessed my life from Kentucky. Where are they at? I call them Kentuckians. Known me when I was much, much younger. Sister Pierce and Sister Dorothy, thank you for blessing my life. Folks, we need to thank people that have blessed us along the way. From my heart, I say thank you. Is there anybody in here from Abilene, Texas? What church are you from? First Assembly. My husband was saved in First Assembly. Thank you for blessing my husband's life. Folks, I want to tell you something. Hear me. And I'm going to finish this message. But God just laid this on my heart. We're where we are today because of people like you and you and you. Don't ever take it for granted. But thank God and bless people along the way that's blessed you. Oh, if we can get in there. But let me go back. I comb my husband's hair. Now, we've been married 30 years, but I've been combing it 32 years. The first date we had, he came into the house, and I looked at him. And I said, hand me your comb and let me rearrange your hair. And he did. And I said, now this is the man I want. He's going to be easy to train. Now hear what I'm saying. My marriage license doesn't say I have to comb his hair. I don't do it out of duty. Are you hearing me? I do it, number one, because I love him. Number two, I don't like the way he combs it. That's the best two reasons I know. But hear what I'm saying. I don't do it out of duty. I do it out of desire. I don't pray out of duty. I pray out of desire because I want to touch God in a fresh and a real way and know that He's God. Amen? Not duty, but desire. Let me deal this morning with four kinds of praying that we do. I want you to get it in your spirit. Four kinds of praying. Number one, there's the prayer of adoration. That's from me to God about God. How many knows that's praise and worship? Adoration. Folks, praise gets God's attention. Praise gets your attention. My husband can come in the house and he'll say, "Oh, you look lovely today. Your hair is beautiful." Honey, I'll follow him from room to room. He's praising me. And he has my full attention. Now, he may come in and say, "You know where I laid so-and-so," and I don't move nearly as quickly because I know it's exactly where he laid it. I love men, we love the men, but they can't find a thing. Amen? But when he's praising me, he has my full attention. When we praise God, we get God's full attention. Oh, he said, "I require you." He said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Not part of you, but all of you. He requires us to praise him. Praise and worship is the prayer of adoration from me to God about God. Folks, every time a general altar service is given, we need to be in it. You may say, "Well, I don't have anything to pray about." Well, you've got somebody to pray to. You've got someone to pray to. And you need to say, "I want to be in the altar. I want to praise him. I want to worship him." A lady said to me one time, "It takes a lot to move me." I said, "Who are you that an awesome God can't move you?" I am moved by an awesome God. Honey, our praise doesn't make him any larger. We just have the privilege to do it. Amen. He's as large as he's going to be. The prayer of adoration from me to God about God. Oh, I want to praise you and worship you. Now, praise, there's a difference in praise and worship. Praise is thanking God for his blessings, benefits, and good things. Worship is centering on God as a person. If he never does another thing for me, he's redeemed me. And that's enough for me to worship him the rest of my days as I center on him as a person. That's the difference in praise and worship. Folks, we can a lot of times go through a whole worship service. I started to say song service. That's what we used to say. But now I say worship service. We can go through a whole worship service and never be touched by God. My mind can be a million miles away. But say, "God, I want to worship you." When I was growing up, years ago, somebody asked me, two or three people have asked me since I've been here, how old I am. Let me tell the whole group, I'm 57 years old. I know it surprises some of you. You thought I was older than that. I went to have a facelift last year, and they lifted it up and put it back down. Wasn't anything to work with there. When I was growing up, I would see those precious people that I grew up in church with. And they would begin to sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the tears would begin to roll. Folks, we need to be broken once again in the presence of Almighty God. Oh, the tongues of Zion. If the word of God begin to break us once again in his presence as we pray the prayer of adoration from me to God about God. The second kind of praying we do is the prayer of communication. That's from me to God, from God to me. That says, "I hear from God. I hear from God." Folks, we come to an altar and pray like a house on fire 15 minutes and get up and wonder why we haven't heard from God. If I went to visit Sister Pierce one day and I said, "Good morning, Sister Pierce. How are you doing this morning? Good to see you today. What are you going to do today? Do you think it's going to be a pretty day?" And I went that way for an hour and said, "Well, goodbye." I probably could. She'd say, "Well, what was wrong with her?" We didn't communicate. I did all the talking. The prayer of communication from me to God, from God to me. The prayer of communication. If we're going to rise and be the woman of God in the city that we need to be, we're going to have to be women of prayer. Amen. We're going to have to know how to get a hold of God in a fresh and a real way. And we're going to have to know how to pray through. Praying through still works. It's praying, but don't get up until heaven touches you. And you'll know you prayed through. The prayer of communication from me to God. From God to me. Folks, Abraham would pray the prayer of communication. He would hear from God. We need once again to hear from God. God, I need to hear from you in a fresh and a real way. Somebody asked me to tell this testimony. You've heard it. If you've ever heard me, probably a dozen of times, but I'll repeat it for somebody. It goes real good right here. There was a gentleman that lost his entire family on our burning church bus by the name of Lee Williams. Mr. Williams lost a 34-year-old wife, a 10-year-old daughter, and a 14-year-old daughter. This man went through many months of depression, as you can imagine. The morning we had to tell him about his precious family, I mean, he fell on the floor of my husband's office. And you've never seen a grown man sob as hard in your life. He said to my husband, "Pastor, I'm an only child. My parents were only children. My father was killed in Korea. My mother died 6 months ago. I do not have a mother, a father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, or cousin. And now I don't have a wife or any daughters. I am alone in this world." And let me stop here and tell you, we take the blessings of God for granted. Most of you are going home to a family today. Folks, I'm going to get you ready to go home before I'm finished this message too. You're going to go home sweet. You're going to go home sweet. Yeah. We promised him we would be family to him as much as we could be. God has since given him a ministry to men and to families. On March the 4th, 1990, he was to be in North Carolina to do a service. He looked at his calendar on the 2nd, and he thought, uh-oh, I don't want to go to North Carolina. The 4th, that Sunday, would have been his oldest daughter's 16th birthday. He said, "I promised my oldest daughter when she got to be 16, I was going to take her out to lunch, give her 16 red roses. It was going to be our day." And he said, "I wanted to go to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, take 16 red roses, lay them on a grave, wrap my arms around a coal monument and cry my eyes out. That's what I wanted to do." He tried to call the pastor to cancel his engagement. There was no answer. Sunday morning, he prayed the prayer of communication. "God, what do you want me to do? You know what I want to do, but what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "I want you to wire 16 red roses to that church where you're going. I want you to be on your plane this afternoon." And Lee said, "I said, why, God?" And God said two words to him, "Trust me." You know the reason we don't trust God any more than we do? We only trust people we know. It's getting quiet in here, but I realize folks don't talk a lot during surgery. Amen. We only know people we fellowship. The more I fellowship him, the more I'll know him. The more I know him, the more I'll trust him. He got up before he's praying, wired 16 red roses to that church. Pastor picked him up at the airport on Saturday afternoon, said, "Lee, we got 16 red roses for the church today. What are they for?" He said, "I don't know. Just trust God and trust me is all I can tell you." Folks, if we could learn to live that way. Sunday morning he was praying, and the Lord said to him, "There's going to be a special young lady here today, and I want you to give her those 16 red roses. I'll let you know who she is." He went into the youth Sunday school class to see if she was in there. No one in there witnessed to his spirit. He walked into the worship service, and he said to the youth pastor, "If another young lady walks in here today, tell me her name." In the middle of the worship service, a young lady walked down the aisle, sat on the front pew. And the Lord said to Lee, that's her. Lee looked at the youth pastor and said, what's her name? He said, her name is Missy. When he got up to minister, he said, folks, I'm going to be as transparent today as I know how to be with you. I didn't want to be here. Today would have been my oldest daughter's 16th birthday. I promised her when she got to be 16, I was going to take her out to lunch, give her 16 red roses. It was going to be our day. I wanted to go to Poplar Bluff, Missouri, take 16 red roses, lay them on a grave, wrap my arms around the coal monument, cry my eyes out. But the Lord told me to come here today. He told me to wire 16 red roses at this church, and a few minutes ago, he told me to give them to Missy. He said, come up here, honey. You're going to be my daughter today. I'm going to give you these roses. I'm going to take you and the youth group out to lunch. He said, I put my arms around her shoulders and begin to hug her. And said, I'd rather hug flesh and bone than I would a coal monument. When he did that, the youth pastor began to cry. The senior pastor began to cry. The whole church broke down weeping. He said, I thought, what have I done? After the service, Missy came up to him and she was crying. And she said, Mr. Williams, you don't know me. And he didn't. She said, 3 years ago, my mother dropped me off on the streets of Jacksonville, Florida. Never returned for me. I don't know who my father is. I never met him. 4 months ago, a lady evangelist from the Assemblies of God picked me up off the streets of Jacksonville, Florida, brought me to Teen Challenge here in North Carolina. I started attending this church and gave my heart to the Lord. Mr. Williams, I awakened to the truth today. Today is my 16th birthday. She said, when I awakened today, I said, God, no one cares that I'm 16 today. Every young lady would like to have 16 red roses for her birthday. When I go to church today, let someone give me 16 red roses. God, if you love me like they say that you do, let someone give me 16 red roses. What am I saying? Because of the prayer of communication, God took the hurting heart of a man in the state of Kentucky and sent that hurting heart to the state of North Carolina to make himself real, his love real to a young 16-year-old girl that says, God, I've got to know that you know where I am today and that you know why I'm going through what I'm going through. And you know what to do about it, amen? She said, Mr. Williams, I'm going to finish high school. I'm going to Bible school to study to be a youth pastor. I want to help other hurting young people like myself. Well, I had the privilege of doing the National Youth Pastors Conference, 1994, one in San Diego, California, and one in Daytona Beach, Florida. The Secretary of the Youth, Dick Van Hus at that time, called my husband and said, Brother Tennyson, do you think that Sister Tennyson would do the National Youth Pastors Conference for us? He said, well, I'm sure she would if she has it. He said, well, I know you probably think it's strange for me getting a lady, and especially one that age. But thank God I haven't hit 70 yet. He said, but the reason I'm with you, I have a lot of young ladies that's becoming youth pastors. And I kindly wanted them to see a lady preach that I felt like wasn't intimidated. I don't know why he thought of me, but anyway. So in San Diego, California, I was preaching. I believe I was preaching on Keys of the Kingdom or something like that. Anyway, I gave this testimony I just gave to you of the 16 red roses. When I finished and the altar service was finished, a young lady walked crying. And she said, Sister Tennyson, you have no idea who I am, do you? I said, no, honey, I don't. She said, my name is Missy Spiker. From the state of North Carolina. I am the young lady that received the 16 red roses. I finished high school. I graduated from Bible school. And I am now a youth pastor in one of our Assembly of God churches. Oh, what am I saying? One man prayed the prayer of communication. Are you getting it in your spirit today? God, when I begin to pray the prayer of communication, and I begin to hear from heaven, things are going to happen. The prayer of communication. Then there's the prayer of intercession. That's from me to God for someone else. That's the prayer of intercession. From me to God for someone else. When our son, and let me tell you this, the church prayed to God for Peter. That was the prayer of intercession. Folks, intercession is almost a lost art in our churches. I told you I was raised in Pentecost. My mother received the baptism 3 months before I was ever born. And they said she danced and shouted all over the place. I got a head start on this thing, folks. Many a morning, I could hear the voices of a mother and daddy at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Folks, praying the prayer, Aunt Betty, of intercession. They knew how to pray until they prayed through. We pray till we're through, but we don't pray through. Amen? We need to once again say we're going to rise and we're going to be the woman of God in our city, and we're going to pray until we touch heaven and things are changed. Oh, in my home, in my church, and in my city, things will be changed. Oh, as we pray the prayer of intercession. Our son, when he was 16 years old. Now, my husband, for those of you that know him, know that he's only 5'3" in height. I'm 5'2", he's 5'3". We both went to trace our family tree and found out we didn't have one. It's just a stump, amen. He said to me one day, he said, honey, I wish I was tall, dark, and handsome. I said, baby, you're already handsome. Just stand on a chair and turn out the light. Amen? Take care of the rest of it. Has grown out of that stump. We have a son that's 6'1" in height. He gets out of line, we bite him on the kneecap. Amen. But when our son was 16 years old, and I want to say this to you ladies, we need to teach our young people how to pray through. They need to get a how to get a hold of God for themselves. We're not always going to be around. They need to know how to pray through. We taught our son how to touch God, pray through. One morning I went downstairs about 2:30 in the morning, get a drink of water, saw the light on in our son's room, heard him praying and the Spirit praying through him. He was a junior in high school. I didn't bother him. I went back upstairs. Forgot to mention it to him the following day when he was preparing for school. When he got home for school that afternoon, I said to him, son, saw the light on in your room this morning. Heard you praying. Was something wrong? He said, mother, the Lord woke me up. Folks, if he can trust you, he'll wake you up. I want to say that again. If he can trust you with a burden, he'll wake you up. How many wants to be trusted with a burden? God, you can wake me up anytime. I can be trusted with a burden. He said, I prayed for a young man in my class by the name of Billy. And said, mother, I prayed until I prayed through and I felt peace. Said, I went to school today and the first person I met was Billy. And Billy said, Alan, at 1:30 this morning, I tried to commit suicide. But it didn't work. Can we be women that he can trust? Arise. arise, women. Arise and say, I'm going to be a woman of God in my city that can be trusted with a burden that I will pray until I pray through and touch heaven in a real and a fresh way. He said, I said, Billy, I'll tell you why it didn't work. The Lord woke me up to pray for you at 1:30 this morning. How many knows he's an on-time God? At 1:30, he woke me up to pray for you and said, I prayed until I prayed through. Billy said, Alan, you mean you love me that much? Alan said, Billy, not only do I love you, but God loves you more. He woke me up to pray for you. Standing in the library of a public high school, our son led Billy to a no-soul salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. In the public school, he led him to a no-soul salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy started attending First Assembly there in Radcliffe. He was filled with a baptism. They graduated together from high school in May of 90, and both of them went off to study for the ministry. Oh, hallelujah. What am I saying? Oh, God, let us learn to pray the prayer of intercession. Doing a revival in a Texas city. Back in June, a mother came up to me on a Sunday evening and she said, my 17-year-old son has lost all hearing in the left ear. The doctor just said 2 weeks ago that the nerves are dead in the eardrum. Surgery will not do him any good. There's not a thing we can do with your son. He's going to have to accept it. He's going to be deaf in the left ear for the rest of his life. I'm going to say something to you. We get so depressed over what's happening. Why don't we say, God, show me what's really going on? How many knows we get down over what's happening? Say, God, I don't want to see what's happening. I want to look beyond what's happening. I want to see what's really going on. Amen. Elisha's servant said, oh, alas, master, they that are surrounding us, the enemy surrounding us. And you know what Elisha said? All he knows is what's happening. Oh, master, open his eyes so he can see what's really going on. Amen. Oh, don't get depressed over what's happening, but say, God, I'm going to pray until I see what's really going on. And the mother came up to me and she said, that's what the doctor said. But me and a friend of mine have been interceding for my son's ear. And we're not going to give up until we see the answer. That was on a Sunday evening, she told me that. Tuesday evening. How many wants to know what's really going on? I just told you what's happening. Now let me tell you what's really going on. Tuesday evening, around the altar praying, this young man was kneeling next to his girlfriend. And he looked over to her and said, wow, somebody just jabbed a pencil in my ear. She said, well, I'm the only one here and I sure didn't. When she said that, he said, say that again. Say that again. Say that again. Say that again. And she said it two or three times. And honey, about the fourth time she said it, I want you to know that young man got up and he had a Pentecostal spell. Oh, hallelujah, all over that auditorium. He ran from one end of the building to the other, just about as hard as he could run. He ran and he ran and he ran and he ran. And his mother was right behind him. His mother was right behind him. She outran him. She outran him. Honey, I want you to know what's the truth. They like to have torn up an auditorium that night. I love Pentecostal spells, don't you? Oh, my Father in heaven if we will get back to having more of them. Oh, got excited. Heard from that mother not too long ago. Went back to the doctor. The doctor said, I just don't understand what has happened. All the nerves are alive in the eardrum again. Oh, and he can hear perfectly. He said, I don't understand what's happening. How many knows you don't understand what's happening? But we knew what was really going on. Amen. He didn't understand what was happening, but we knew what was really going on. Why? Because the God of creation is also the God of resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Whatever is dead in your life, he can resurrect again. Honey, if these things completely fall, I'll still be back here. Amen. The prayer of intercession from me to God for someone else. Then there's the prayer of petition. That's from me to God for myself. You may say, it's about time I pray for myself. Daniel prayed the prayer of petition 3 times a day. From me to God for myself. The prayer of petition. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your heart. I prayed the prayer of petition many times. This particular time in 1975. I went to the ophthalmologist. He checked my eyes. And he said, Miss Tennyson, the retinas are becoming detached from both of your eyes. Dropping down in the back of your head, within 3 months' time, you're going to be stone blind. You'll not be able to tell daylight from dark. He said, I'm going to put some drops in your eyes. I just want to see if I can do you any good, but I don't think I can. You're too far gone. It happens in extremely nearsighted people. I walked across the street to get a bite to eat, to let the time pass. While I was sitting there, I said, God, my condition doesn't alter your word or dilute your power. You're still God. How many know he's still God? Whatever situation, he's still God. He's still in charge. He has no predecessors. He has no successors. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. He's still God. He's still God. I said, you've healed me many times, but I ask you before I leave this place that you do a miracle in these eyes. Sister Dora, Jesus Christ of Nazareth passed my way, and I reached out and touched the hem of his garment, Sister D.D. Oh, I knew that God had answered. I went back to that doctor's office. He re-examined me. See, I prayed the prayer petition. Are you hearing me? I sat there and prayed the prayer petition. He re-examined me, and he said, where have you been? I said, across the street to get something to eat. He said, what happened? I said, you tell me. He said, these retinas are as tight as they can be. What happened? What happened? What happened? Oh, hallelujah, what happened? I said, well, here's what's really going on. Jesus of Nazareth passed my way about 30 minutes ago, and I reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and he has made me whole. Hallelujah, God. That's what's really going on when I prayed the prayer of petition. Oh, if we can get it in our spirit. And in our heart, about 11 years ago, I had a new examination from a different doctor in the area where we were pastoring in Radcliffe, Kentucky. He examined my eyes and he said, Miss Tennyson, you've got the tightest retinas. For such an extremely nearsighted person of anyone I ever examined. How many knows he doesn't do a halfway job? Honey, he does a complete work when he does it. Women of God in the city are women of prayer. The prayer of adoration from me to God about God. The prayer of communication from me to God, from God to me. The prayer of intercession from me to God for someone else. the prayer of petition from me to God for me. Every time we pray one of those prayers. How many knows when you prayed the prayer of repentance, you prayed the prayer of petition to God for you? Amen? Then let's go on. Women of God in the city are women of power. Not only prayer, but women of power. Folks, I am so hungry once again to see, and it begins with me. I am so hungry to see people come in and leave differently than what they came. I hate rolling people in and rolling them out. I want something to change. But if it's going to change, we've got to become women of prayer first. That power comes from prayer. And folks, we got to be women that have power to overcome. We've got to say, God, whatever I'm facing in my life, I'm going to have the power in the name of Jesus to overcome this thing so that I can help others that are around about me. We get so caught up within ourselves and our own little problems that we forget, oh, we need to have the power of Almighty God, oh, to do a work in lives of others. And let me have the power to be an overcomer so I can see God move in a mighty way in the lives of other people. Women of power. My husband lived in Fort Worth, Texas for a few years and attended a church called Northside Assembly of God. Anybody ever hear of it? Jacob Filbert was the pastor. My husband loves that church. He said many a service, doors would open in the back. Down the aisle would come a stretcher. Somebody had been injured in an accident. The folks would say, don't take me to hospital. Take me to Northside Assembly of God. Those people know how to pray. And when they pray, something happens. Whoa, said they would pray, the church would. And God would heal them, get off the stretcher. The ambulance driver and the stretcher would go its way. And the person would stay there with them. If they weren't saved, they would lead them to the Lord. What am I saying? God hasn't changed. We need to be people of power that says, don't take me to the hospital. Take me to Grace Temple in Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, take me to First Assembly in Abilene, Texas. Take me to Cottonwood Assembly. Oh, take me to Hillview Terrace Assembly. Wherever you go, take me there. Amen? Those people know how to pray. And when they pray, something happens. They're women of power. God hasn't changed. If he will do that in Northside Assembly in Fort Worth, Texas, he'll do it in your assembly. When we become women of power. My husband loved First Assembly in Abilene. He loved Hillview Terrace in Dallas. Meant so much to his life, many of them. But I want to tell you something, folks. We need to say, God, I want that to happen in my church. And if you believe it'll happen, build you a new church with a door wide enough to get the stretchers in. If you already got one built, just cut an opening. Say, the ambulance is going to be pulling up out here, and we're going to need this door open. We're going to become women of power. Power to overcome. And when we pray, something is going to happen in the lives of people. Folks, let's say, God, I want to be an overcomer in my situation, in my circumstance. I want to arise. I want to arise and be a woman of God in my city, that the city will know, my church will know, my home will know that I am a woman of God, full of prayer, full of power, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah, God. Women of power to overcome. Then we need to be women of power to take a stand. As Sister P. Pierce said a few minutes ago. Be women to witness. Don't be ashamed of what you are. The world never apologizes about what they do. When our son was starting in the first grade, he was 5 years old, starting in the first grade, 2 weeks after he was in school, he brought me home a note and said, "Dear Miss Tennyson, I need a conference with you on Monday morning." Now that normally spells trouble. So I showed it to his dad. Now my husband never gets upset about anything. He has one speed, one level, and it's this way all the time. He always said to our son, "Now son, I really need to whip you, so why don't you come over here and let me whip you." That's as excited as he ever got. He said, "Now, son, this hurts me worse than it does you." Our son said, "Yeah, but not in the same place. Amen." So I showed his dad the note. And my husband said, "Now, son, are you causing any problem down there in school?" He said, "Dad, I haven't done a thing." He said, "All right. We'll see Monday morning. Your mother's going into school." Been married to him 30 years. He's never fussed at me one time about anything. Now I have him. It's not we've never had a cross word. Anybody lives together so long would say they've never had a cross word. One of them's deaf and dumb. They're really more dumb than they are deaf. Everybody has a mind of their own. So Monday morning I went to school with our son. When I got in there, the teacher said, "Now, Miss Tennyson, Alan is not in any problem. That's not why I called you. I called you here to ask you a question." I said, "All right." She said, "What is the rapture?" I said, "Rapture?" She said, "Yes." Said, "Your son has been in this class for 2 weeks, and he has me and this entire class scared to death we're going to miss the rapture." "We don't even know what it is." She said, "I'm afraid to go to sleep at night. I'm afraid I'm going to miss the rapture." She said, "Every time some of us say something or do something he don't think is appropriate, he'll say, 'You're going to miss the rapture.'" She said, "Now, could you explain that to me?" Well, I explained the rapture to her. She thanked me, and that was all of it. Well, I didn't think any more about it. 5 years later, hear me, power to witness, plant a seed. It may not come up tomorrow. God didn't call us to save the world. He called us to tell the world. We were sitting down for the Christmas dinner meal at our house. My family, my two brothers had come in from out of town with their families to have Christmas with us. Phone rang. My husband went to the phone. Bonnie Payton, Alan's first grade teacher, said, "Pastor Tennyson, this is Bonnie Payton. I'm sorry to bother you, but I just had to call today to tell you to tell Alan. This morning, my husband and I gave our hearts to the Lord. We're now ready for the rapture." She said, "For 5 years, I couldn't get away from the voice of a little five-year-old that says, 'You're going to miss the rapture. You're going to miss the rapture.'" Folks, we don't have to have the ability. We need the availability that says we know Jesus, and that's all that's necessary. There is an authority in that name, in that name. Folks, we have the authority. But do we have the power? Let me show you a difference in authority and power. Sister Pierce, do you play the piano? You don't play at all. All right? I give Sister Pierce the authority to play the piano. She comes up here, but she don't have the power. Pat, I know you play the piano. Pat plays the piano right behind Sister Pierce. Now, I give Pat the authority to play the piano. But when she gets up here, she also has the power. How many sees the difference in authority and power? Sister Pierce has the authority to play the piano, but she don't have the power. Pat has the authority, but she also has the power. Folks, we have the authority, but do we have the power? Are you hearing me? We have the authority, but do we have the power? Folks, and I will tell you something. This is real. It's not something you have to make happen. It's not something you have to work up. It's not something you have to do. But the power and the anointing of Almighty God is real and will be real in our lives if we will let Him be real. Oh, power. Power to witness. Sister Elaine, you'll like this. I was doing a missionette retreat last year. Missionette director said to me on a Friday evening, I want you to notice the little girl sitting on the front row. I want to tell you something about her after church. I said, all right. After the service, she said, Sister Tennyson, this little girl was saved in one of our missionette classes, invited by a little friend that witnessed to her. Brought her to missionettes, the Lord saved her. Well, said, we were going to have a missionette retreat. And said, this little girl was so excited about this missionette retreat. And she lived in a housing area, sort of a project area. And said, she started out on a Monday morning, knocking on all the doors. Do you have any little girls here about 7 or 8 or 9? Could they go to a retreat with me? Missionette retreat. And they'd say, well, what is it? She said, I don't know, but I'm getting ready to find out. Honey, she found 150 little girls that wanted to go. 150. And her mother said, I don't even have the money to send you. How are you going to get all them there and pay for it? She said, God didn't tell you to pay for it. He just told me to invite. Amen? Whoa! Folks, there's some areas that's our territory, and there's some areas that's God's territory. Amen? Let's stay out of God's territory and let God work. Every day, we're going to a missionette retreat. We're going to a missionette retreat. Honey, faith doesn't look at the process, but the finished product. 2 days before the retreat, an insurance agent came by the house to talk to the mother. And she said, I'm going to a missionette retreat, and 150 of my friends are going with me. He said, what is it? She said, I don't know, but we're getting ready to find out. He said, honey, how are you going to get them there? She said, I don't know. God just said to invite them. Folks, if we could have faith like that, how are you going to pay for them? I don't know. God will take care of it. Well, honey, he was so moved. He looked at the little girl and he said, honey, I own a fleet of buses. I'll be by here at the appointed time to pick up all your little friends and pay for every one of them to take them to retreat. Power, 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 power to witness, power to believe God. Sister Elaine, Friday evening, the altar call was given. 150 little girls stepped out to accept Jesus for the first time. Why? One little 9-year-old girl, are you hearing me? One little 9-year-old girl that says, I've got the power to witness, and I'm going to do something about what he's done in my life, and I'm going to share it with others. Ladies, we need the power. If you don't have the baptism, you need it. And if you do have it, you need a fresh upper room experience of the power and the anointing of Almighty God in our hearts and in your life in a fresh and real way. Oh, God, give us a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Let me finish up. Not only are we the woman of God in the city, a woman of prayer, a woman of power, but a woman of peace. We need peace. Anything that affects you, your peace, is a spiritual battle. Remember that. Anything that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. What's he come to steal? What's he come to steal? Your peace. Your peace. That's where he starts, with your peace. If he can get a hold of your peace, he can get the rest of it. But folks, you need to hold on to your peace. Now, he can't steal it as we know steal it. What he can do is put the pressure, the force, and intimidation on us to get us to throw in the towel. To steal our peace. Our peace means first begin with God. I need to have peace with God. Peace. Don't you like to be around people that have peace? We need that peace showing in our faces and on us. I need to, number one, have peace with God. And if I have peace with God, I can have peace in my church. Don't go to your church to see what's wrong. Go to see what's right. Don't go to criticize. Go to uplift the name of Jesus. Amen? Oh, you may say, well, I don't agree with everything they do. I'm sorry. Don't move, because you're not going to agree with the rest of the next one either. Amen? Pray it through right where you are and say, God, I'm going to get the victory and the peace where I am. It doesn't matter what they do. Oh, as long as I know the power is moving in that place and sinners are being saved, they may not have the color of carpet I want, but what does it matter? How many knows we get so bent out of shape over stupid things? You may not shout loud, but I'm going to talk to you. If your pastor never shakes your hand again, thank God you'll still be saved. It doesn't rest in his handshake. You know, the folks that came into our church laid their faces on a carpet that early that Sunday morning to pray God spare our loved ones. Did not care what color the carpet was. They didn't care if we had a carpet. God, I need peace with you. Then I can have peace in my church. Don't cause trouble. Stay sweet. And say, God, if I don't think this is right, let me pray it through and you can work it out. I don't have to put my hands on it. Pray it through and work it out. Amen? Oh, let's have the peace of God within our heart and in our soul in a fresh and a real way. God, I want the peace of God. Peace with my family. Peace with my church. Let me deal with family for just a moment. Now, I'm going to get you ready to go home. Let me talk about the church for just a minute. This kind of victory is not just for retreat. This way in your church. When you get home tomorrow and you go to church, act like you did here. How many knows it's not just for one weekend? But we need to get home and say, God, I'm going to have a move of you in my heart and in my soul in a fresh and a real way. I'm going to have a move of God. Whatever they think, whatever they do, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit move in me. If you want me to run, I'm going to run. If you want me to shout, I'm going to shout. If you want me to have a Jericho march, I'll have a Jericho march. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it. And let them think what they may think. But I'm going to have a move of God in my church in a fresh and a real way. Amen. I'm determined. There's enough of you here together from one church that you can go home and have a move of God. Now, it may frighten him or it may astonish him for a time or two, but they'll get over it.
That's right.
They'll get over it. If you want to run, run. They didn't die for you and they're not coming back for you. Determined, we're going to have a move of God. We're going to worship and we're going to see. Listen, folks, hear me. If our churches are not going to be any different, why should people change? If we act like everybody else, might as well stay where you are. They come to see a change. They want a change. They want to feel a movement. Let me get back up here. I know some of you can't see me. It's not really important, but I'll get back up here. Grace. They want to see a move of God. Say, God, we're going to move. If there's five of us here, we're going home tomorrow and we're going to shout. We're going to have a move. Praying people don't give you problems. Praying people don't give you problems. God, we're going to have a move. Starting in my church. I'm going home tomorrow and I'm going to be kindling. And we're going to see a revival in this North Texas district that this North Texas never experienced. We want a real move of the power of the Holy Ghost. Sinners are convicted of sin. Come off the street and run to their altars, our altars, and give their heart to the Lord. Those that come in to be prayed for healing, leave differently than what they came, because the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in my church in a fresh and a real way. We're going to see a move of God. God, I'm going home different. I told you I was getting you ready to go home. You're going to be women of prayer, of power, of peace with God, with your church. Now let's deal with the family. Honey, it doesn't do a bit of good in church if you don't work at home. Doesn't matter how high you shout in church. If there's no testimony in the home, there's no effect. I know our children feel like that a miracle takes place on the parking lot of our churches. Mom and daddy fusses all the way to church. Daddy can hit three of them with one swipe in the back seat. They arrive in the parking lot, step out. Pastor says, how are you today? They smile and say, couldn't be better. Those children say, is that the people we rode to church with? It's got to work in our home. It has to work in our home. Some of you have heard me tell this, but I'm going to tell it again. Peace with your family. One of the ladies, mothers, told me this story. I promised I'd never tell her name, and I will not. In our church, had a 13-year-old boy on that church bus. She said on a Friday, he came home from school excited about going on the trip. She said, you're not going to go on the trip unless you clean your room. Not anything wrong with keeping your room clean, understand that. But you're not going to go on the trip unless you clean your room. She said, Sister Tennyson, I didn't stop there. Something else was bothering me. How many knows we talk more hateful to the people we love the most? I want this to sink in your spirit. That brother back there, raise your hand, my brother, did a great job. Let me give you an example. That brother accidentally bumps into me. And he says, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. And I smile at him and say, that's okay, no problem. My husband accidentally bumps into me and I say, are you totally blind? Can't you see where you're going anymore? And that's a good brother back there. I like that brother. But I certainly don't love him like I do Don Tennyson. His wife's happy about that. Amen? Why can't I give the same kind words to the man I love the most? It could be different tomorrow. This mother said, I was upset about something that happened at work. So for 30 minutes, I took it out on my precious son. I told him all of his faults. He laid across his bed and he cried, sobbed. I heard it. He cleaned his room. She said, Sister Tennyson, when I found out he didn't make it off of a burning church bus, I walk into a room that'll be clean for the rest of my life. And on the mirror was taped a note. And here's what the note said. Dear Mom, I cleaned this room for one reason. Not because I wanted to go on the trip, but because I love you. And if I never return to this room, Mom, remember, I love you. Love your son. She said, Sister Tennyson, all I have is a yellow note. Just a yellow note's all I have. See, I called every one of these families on their child's birthday and at the anniversary of the tragedy. I call every one of the families. Been doing it for 11 years. I still do it. On the anniversary of the tragedy, I called this mother. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, I'm sitting here with a yellow note in my hand. That's all I have is a yellow note. Folks, if it doesn't work at home, it don't work at church. It's got to work in the home. That's where it begins. It has to work in the home. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit beginning in the home. 2 months after the tragedy, walked into my living room one morning, pile of hay on the floor. I don't like hay on my floor, but anyway. I don't keep house that way. Our son had always worked in the hay fields making money for AIM trips. Had a habit of coming into the living room, turning his shoe upside down and cleaning out that shoe. I'd say, son, why do you do that? He said, it's the first chair I get to and I just clean my shoe out. 2 months after the tragedy. See, our son was on the bus and he got off 2 minutes before it exploded. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Walked into my living room, there was that pile of hay. And I started to get upset. And the Lord said to me, 2 more minutes, and there'd never be another pile of hay. I reached down, picked up that hay, kissed it, held it up. God said to me, many a mother would have traded your hay with you that morning to add a child to love and to hold on to. I said, God, thank you for a pile of hay. Folks, we are so kind to everybody else, but it's got to work in the home. Mothers, have we ever said, now you're going to go home in a few minutes when we let you. And you're going to go home, and here's what you felt like doing. Hitting the door and saying, it's very evident you didn't do anything while I was gone. Did you turn that heat up, Sister Pierce? I see some red faces out there. It won't take you but 4 hours to get that house back in shape. How many has ever sung the song, nobody appreciates anything I do around here? Who you think does all this work? How many has ever sung that song? Honey, that song has several verses to it, and I don't have time to sing them all. Amen? I want you to go home when it's time. And I want you to say, thank God I've got somebody to go back to. It could be different tomorrow. But thank God there's somebody there. Why do I even keep house? It's because I've got somebody there I want to keep house for. How many knows that? It's not nearly as much fun keeping it by yourself. Oh, but because there's somebody there. Say, God, help the fruit of the Spirit begin in my home. Then when it begins in my home, I can go to the house of God and I can begin to worship and shout and know that my conscience is clear and those round about me know that I'm a woman of God. I'm a woman of God in my home, in my church, and in my city. I'm a woman of prayer. I'm a woman of power. And I am a woman of peace. Hallelujah, God. Say, God, let it work in my home. How many wants to be a woman of God in the city? I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a woman of God in the city. Who gives us the strength to do it? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm getting ready to do something as I close. Somebody asked me to do. And I'll be glad to do it for you. He can be found in every book of this Bible. In Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the fire by night. Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. Oh, in Joshua, he's captain of my salvation. In Judges, he's judge and he's lawgiver. First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, he's ever reigning king. Let's go back to Ruth. He's my kingsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, he's trusted prophet. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he's a rebuilder of the broken down walls that's in my life. Oh, in Esther, he's my Mordecai. In Job, he's ever living redeemer. In Psalms, he's the good shepherd. Oh, in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's my wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he's my lover and he's my bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the branch of righteousness. Oh, in Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnaces of our life. Oh, in Hosea, he's a faithful husband. In Joel, he's baptizer in the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's mighty one to save. Oh, in Jonah, he's a great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's a messenger with beautiful feet. Oh, in Haggai, he's a restorer of God's lost heritage. In Habakkuk, he's a voice crying, revive thy works in the midst of thy years. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. Oh, in Zephaniah, he is Savior. In Zechariah, he's a fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. Oh, in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's Messiah. In Mark, he's wonder worker. In Luke, he's son of man. In John, he's son of God. In in Romans, he's just, in Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's justifier. First and Second Corinthians, he's sanctifier. In Galatians, he's a redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's a Christ, unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's a God that supplies all of my needs. Oh, in Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. First and Second Thessalonians, he's soon coming king. First and Second Timothy, he's mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's a faithful pastor. Oh, in Philemon, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, in James, he's a great physician. First and Second Peter, he's chief shepherd. First and Second Third John, he's love. In Jude, he's a Savior coming with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. Shout now. Hallelujah. 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 I want to be a woman of God in the city. How about it? Do you want to be a woman of God in the city? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Woman of prayer. Woman of power. Woman of peace. Is there one in this auditorium this morning that would say, I do not know Jesus as my personal Savior, but before I leave this place today, I want to know him. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? I just want to make sure. Anywhere in the building. I don't want to take for granted. I want to make for sure. How many would say, when I go back tomorrow, it's going to be different in my church? I want to be one that makes a difference. A little 9-year-old girl made a difference in 150 missionettes' lives. One little 9-year-old girl made the difference. How many would say, when I go back, I want to make a difference in my home? I want to make a difference in my home. In my home. I want to be a woman of God in the city. Little boy, 5 years old, said to a pastor one time, when he knocked on the door to pray for his mother, he looked up at the pastor, 5 years old, and he said, sir, are you the man from God? Not a title, but a testimony. Pastor said, I didn't tell him my title. I didn't have the heart. I said, son, I'm the man from God. He said, please come in. My mother's friend said, when the man from God gets there, everything will be different. When the man of God arrives on the scene, are you a woman from God? When the woman of God arrives, will everything be different? Pastor said, I prayed for that mother and said, God, I'm not deserving of this testimony. laid his hands upon that mother, God instantly healed that mother of cancer. 25 years old, he led her to the Lord. She started attending his church, still there 15 years later when he left that pastorate. But he said, down through the years, it's remained with him. Sir, are you the man from God? My mother's friend said, when the man from God gets there, everything will be different. Ladies, are we the women from God? I want you to do something for just a moment, and we're going to pray. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to get a picture of your family. Get a picture of them. In fact, if you have any family in this building, find them right now. If you've got any family, get up and find them. Find your family. Thank God. Wouldn't it be horrible if it was different tomorrow? Think about your precious family. Your companion, your children, grandchildren. My. God, help me to be the woman of God I need to be in my home, in my church, and in my city. You got your family by the hand? You got your family by the hand? Have you found them? If you found them, grab them by the hand right now. Grab them by the hand. Let's stand to our feet 100%. Sister Pierce, this is your precious daughter. Am I right? You love that girl, don't you? Wouldn't it be horrible if it would be different tomorrow? You love that mama, don't you, baby? How long has it been since we just thank God? Since we just thank God for our family. Were you going to find some more family? Go on. Grandma. Grandma. All right, Grandma. Hallelujah. Grandma, you love them, don't you? They're yours. Oh, God forbid it ever be different. God forbid. Amen. You got the picture of your family in your mind? I want you to come somewhere and find a place to pray. And say, God, if you got a hold of your family, bring them with you. If you don't have any family, grab a friend. Grab a friend. And when you get down here, I want you to pray and thank God for your family. I want to be the woman of God I need to be. Anywhere, kneel all over this place, wherever you can find a place. Hallelujah. Oh, God. I'm going to be the woman of God I need to be. If you're thankful for the family God's given you and you don't take it for granted, I want you to kneel somewhere, step out somewhere, make some kind of movement. God, I'm thankful for the family you've given me. And I don't take it for granted, God. I don't take it for granted. I just pray, God, you will make me the woman of God that I need to be. In my home, in my city, in my church. Change me, God. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him.
touching Jesus.